And the first step, as Christy said, was finding space, because our current space is in the commercial lease ending, and of course, it's actually kind of a small space. It's not ideal. As we look towards Newville, Illinois, and the fact that we will be building new roads, there will actually be more customer service that comes with that. More drivers, more roads, more customer service.
Particularly with all electronic.
Right.
All electronic.
And when you have all electronic exchanges or any roadway that's all electronic, you do have more customer service. There's simply more people calling in with violations, more people who want to be IPAS, et cetera. So our current space wouldn't, even if we did stay there, it's not ideal. It's very cramped as it is, and there's no capacity to expand. So we have found, and we have established a partnership with the University of Illinois, and we have an intergovernmental agreement with them that we're bringing to you for approval today. And the intergovernmental agreement is intended to cover a 10-year lease and to give us the space on the lower level of their student center, which is on Halstead, right on their main campus downtown. And it has 24-hour building access and security, which when we were looking at all the different options for call centers, this was a surprisingly good deal, because most buildings do not have that. Most buildings are about 9 to 5 during the week, and our call center is not. Our call center is 7 days a week and in the evening. I think that we will go through the procurement piece, but just to give you a sense, the 10-year lease term is about $3.8 million, and there is a build-out with that as well, like an additional capital build-out, so we can get all the call taker spaces and whatnot in, and that's about $2.9 million. The $2.9 million build-out would probably have to occur regardless of where we went. We could go to any space, and even if we stayed in Lyle and we were trying to use that cramped space, we would have to do capital build out there too, just to make sure we had enough space and to keep operations running smoothly. So that is kind of a cost we would bear any place. And then the rent itself is actually, on a per square footage basis, 20% lower than what we're paying today. So it's really a great deal for us. There are some other, see if I can advance this. There we are. Some other just key benefits. The 20% lower, it allows for needed expansions because it has so much more space, and we talked a little bit about that. It also allows us to host downtown meetings. So we will have enough space that we will have one or two conference rooms down there that are just our own. And that is actually very efficient for us, because we do have a number of downtown meetings that we currently don't have space to host them in. We always have to go asking for space. We also have the capacity with this partnership to book conference space, including auditorium space, throughout the entire campus, which of course allows us a better capacity to have tollway-sponsored community events and outreach events. And the downtown location is very helpful for us, because for our state use, service options for the call center, it is pretty essential to be on public transit, so that you can bring people from the disabled population in to work the call center.
That was definitely something we prioritized as we looked at any of the space, was, you know, finding something that was near public transit routes or public transit access.
The current call center in Lyle, there's a management group that's kind of an in-between agent in terms of that. In this new setting, will we be managing this directly, or?
We will have a state use, our idea is that we will have a state use vendor or partnership similar to some of those other examples that Shauna raised, and they actually will manage the operation for us in the same way that we have, you know, a current for-profit vendor. As you remember, one of the reasons I think that the board directed us originally to start looking at this was to prioritize bringing some of these services back a little closer to home here in Illinois. Image review, for instance, was happening in Texas.
Right.
So, you know, this is something that, you know, allows us to also kind of serve these partnerships with state use vendors that I think we've tried to prioritize here.
Okay.
Question regarding the lease. They're making a sizable capital contribution there. It's only a 10-year lease. Are there options to renew that lease? Are there, do we try to negotiate a longer-term lease there, like a 20-year lease, or what do we have in the lease?
We actually didn't want to go much longer than 10 years ourselves, because it seems that as we continue to evolve in the world of electronic tolling, the business will evolve and everything, I don't think we want to tie ourselves into a very large space, probably 20 years. 10 years seems rather ideal to us and UIC, because 10 years is much longer than what we would probably have a commercial entity, and it lends the stability we're looking for, but it also just be 10 years, not 20.
Is there any options in there for after the 10 years?
With an intergovernmental agreement, I don't think we need the options like we would with a typical, like, procurement type situation. They had told us they would love for us to renew. They don't know where they will be in 10 years either. For all they know, they'll need that space for classrooms or something. They don't anticipate it. And if I think we still wanted it, it wouldn't be a problem. But we don't have formal language.
It's something that we can look at, given you've raised the question, Director. We'll work with legal and look at whether there should be some, you know, option in there beyond the 10 years. 10 years has been kind of the state provision for other contracts, so that's, I think, one of the reasons that we based it on a 10-year term, but we can certainly look at this and see if we just want to at least indicate the option of some type of renewal or extension or, you know, however it would be framed.
Is there also, is there a clause, basically an out clause in there for us, for landlord-tenant? Okay.
Yes. We can terminate at any point for convenience with, you know, within certain parameters.
Okay.
And there is one other thing that perhaps this is the right time to point it out. Let's go to the next slide. Somebody can help me. Thank you. The costs in here for capital build-out are estimated. So that's because for UIC to build out the space, they have to hire architectural firms to do the true design. They have hired firms already to do the basic estimates and the layout and the initial drawings. But to do the true design and the actual cost requires them to procure a different set of firms. And they can't really do that procurement with their board until they have an intergovernmental agreement from us. So these are estimated costs. They have a contingency built into them. Chances are that everything will go just fine according to the estimated cost. But if they don't, and the same goes for the time frame, those are built into the intergovernmental agreement, but they are estimated, we will be coming back to you with updates and ideas and options. But we're very optimistic. I just think it's fair to offer that perspective.
Are the employees that will be working for these agencies, or are they are they working for private sector employers, or are they going to be somehow quasi-university employees? Or
no, they would be employees of whatever the state use partner is. So whether, you know, in other circumstances it's Ridgeway or Ada McKinley, but it would be whoever that partner is, that they would be employees of that partner. And one of the reasons we decided, at one point we were thinking of securing the space through the partnership and just having the partner come to the table with proposed space, but we were just finding that, number one, it limits our flexibility to make a change if somebody's not performing up to our standards, and also we are going to need to make significant capital investments in whatever space there is to link it to our system and provide computers, and we were just finding that that was cheaper for us to do more directly ourselves than to kind of pay through a vendor to accomplish that.
So, in other words, we'll have a lease with UIC for the
yes.
space.
Correct.
And then we'll have a separate arrangement with a not-for-profit type vendor, likely?
Right, a state-use vendor from the state-use list.
And they'll handle the hiring, firing, management of the...
That's right. And then we will, of course, monitor to make sure that they are performing up to the standards that we set in whatever agreement we have with them, and obviously if they don't, we would, you know, have to make a change likely. But
could I ask, just do you have an approximate on the square footage of this site?
The new site is about 22,000 square foot. The old site is about 11.
And do we have an idea of how many employees are likely to be
We usually have approximately 100, maybe a little more, working at any given time. There usually have to be about 200 employees on the payroll to cover all the different shifts.
Right. And excuse me, the shifts will be, I think you said, 7 days a week from approximately when to when?
Yeah, what they are now is essentially 7 to 10 on the weekdays and then 9 to 5 on the weekends.
So a couple of the things that we want to make sure you know is, again, that we might have to come back if for some reason the construction costs come in a little a different amount. We certainly will let you know. We can make a determination about whether to move forward. But also, you know, we are moving as quickly as we can, but we likely will need to extend both the existing lease in Lisle and our existing call center contract in order to manage the transition to the new facility and potentially the new vendor. I know UIC is committed to delivering the space as quickly as possible, but they go through the same procurement process that we do.
That's very true. And you can see from the timeline that the anticipated construction time frame to build out is June 2013, about halfway through next year. We expect to finalize the contract involved with state use and bring in the next month and bring that for consideration. And we will, until June 2013, have to operate in our current location, most likely with our current vendor. And we'll be bringing that to you as well to consider when all the final arrangements are made.
Thank you very much. This has been a longer process than having a baby, right?
It actually has, which is the funny part.
She would know.
But we've got something wonderful. When we're done. And in addition to bringing jobs back into Illinois and using a state use contract, I think the other thing, and this is probably something I shouldn't say, but before I knew the tollway, I was always very suspicious of any contract, right? So who's the person who's getting the other piece of the contract here? And I think this makes it extremely clear. We have a public entity that's going to be the real estate, and then we've got an entity that is a not-for-profit that's going to be getting the salaries for the people who are going to be doing the work. So I hope that it sends, you know, a message that the tollway is trying to think about how to make sure that we use the resources that we have in the best way possible.
It should be a great partnership. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thanks. Thank you, Shauna. Just a few other things. There are a few outreach events the tollway is going to be participating in over the next week or so that I wanted to make all of you aware of. On Friday and Saturday, we will be attending the Black Contractors Business Summit hosted by Congressman Bobby Rush. I'll be attending one day, and then I think Paul Kovacs and Gustavo Giraldo will be also in attendance there, as well as others from diversity. We're going to be giving an overview of our construction contract bidding and professional services selection process, and are going to join a roundtable discussion with other local government agencies, particularly transportation agencies, in trying to communicate with that, you know, important potential business partners. So that's exciting. The event's at Chicago State University. If you'd like more details or would like to attend, we can certainly get those for you. Just let us know. Next Wednesday, the tollway is also going to be participating in an event hosted by the Illinois Department of Employment and Security. The Community Information and Resource Fair is designed to provide South Suburban communities with hands-on information about the wide range of human services and training resources available in the Chicago Southland region. Rather than researching and contacting the various providers, this event will save attendees time and energy and provide them with kind of information, comprehensive information, all under one roof. So the fair is going to provide training information for people seeking employment, identify pre- and post-employment services, engage the local community in job readiness and placement services, provide face time between community residents and local assistance agencies. Lots of employment services brought under one roof for that event. So again, if you'd like more information, I know that Marlene can get that out so that you can also send it on to your contacts if you think anybody would be interested in maybe attending those. That event will take place from 9 to noon at the Ray Day Lodge. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly in Midlothian. So that's, again, a partnership with IDES for us. Labor Day weekend is around the corner. So while we're all looking forward to it, we want to be safe. So I would like to introduce Captain Perez. He is going to talk a little bit about our efforts for this upcoming Labor Day. It's a busy time on our roadways, and we think we'll be as busy as last year with 6.7 million vehicles projected to travel the tollway next Friday through Tuesday. The busiest day on the tollway will likely be Friday the 31st with 1.7 million vehicles on the road compared to our typical 1.4 million. So it is something that we work closely with the Illinois State Police to make sure everybody's safe while they're out there, and Captain Perez is going to go over some details with us.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you, Captain.
Madam Chair, members, good morning. Everybody else, good morning. Good morning.
You know, it seems like, maybe it's just me, wasn't it like a week ago I was talking about Memorial Day? the summer for me has flown by. Chrissy said Labor Day is right around the corner. Historically, a sad footnote to the Labor Day weekend is more than 12% of all the traffic fatalities reported for the month of September occur in that three-day period. That's a terrible weekend for traffic fatalities. District 15's goal this weekend, like it is for all of the year for us, but especially this week, is going to be to protect the motoring public we have on the system. Again, 6.7 million we're expecting on the roadway over the weekend. Well, as always, we're going to be focusing our efforts on creating a safe environment for the dangerous violators for our law-abiding motorists. This Labor Day weekend, we're going to be paying special attention to four areas. Distracted driving, that's the driving while texting, driving and using a cell phone in construction zones. Speeding, speed's a major contributor in all our accidents, especially construction zones. Motorists who are not wearing their seat belts, that's a side note, going to be a much harder thing for us to do in Illinois. Currently, the latest Department of Transportation survey puts seatbelt use in Illinois at over 93% compliance, which is an incredible number just in 10 years or so, since we were at 40 or 50% is a great number. And of course, we'll be looking for intoxicated and impaired drivers. In the past several years, Illinois has gotten the annual fatalities down to over under 1,000 motor fatalities, which is an incredible number. We've reached a point, we've done only so much I think we can do with seat belts and speed and some other things. And what's happened with that now is more than 40% of accidents involving fatality now involve an impaired driver. It's reached that point. So impaired drivers are a big key for us now in preventing fatalities. In addition to our usual complement of assigned patrol cars we have in the system every day, our special enforcement team, which is a unit that directs mostly at traffic-related issues, will be out all weekend. Our motorcycle units will be out in force for the entire weekend. We'll be conducting a roadside safety check along I-88 on Friday night, August 31st. We have several other enforcement details planned throughout the weekend, including something I don't think we've done here on the system for a while, the airspeed detail. That's where you, as our Illinois State Police Air Operations plane, will actually watch speeders from the air, clock them, report them to the cars down in the road, and we'll stop them on the road. Those, we tend to get a tremendous amount of vehicles in those details because they just don't see us until they've already caught. We'll have more than 40 additional officers working on the system this weekend. Primary function of all these additional officers will be traffic safety enforcement. As we did with one of the it's our goal to target those who are making the road unsafe for our motoring public that stays within the law. We have a tremendous amount of people that do drive safely in our system. Christy did mention the construction zones. Most drivers see construction zones as a source of irritation or delay. I think we mentioned this briefly at one of the previous board meetings. Construction zones offer far more challenges, however, for the drivers than I think they realize. The narrow lanes, limited visibility, visual distractions, the heavy equipment, the people walking around on the side of the road. Occasionally, even the best of contractors, that flagman steps right out in front of somebody. The lack of shoulder where the driver doesn't make a mistake, they have no place to escape to anymore. Those all create things I don't think many drivers think about. Make these construction zones much more hazardous than usual. On the average in Illinois, there are 7,000 crashes in construction zones across the state, resulting in 2,100 injuries. District 15 here at State Police, we've always placed special emphasis on these construction zones. However, our enforcement efforts in these construction zones face those same challenges that everyday motorist does. There is no place for us to stop them. There's no place for us to sit and watch them and try to stop them. And let me paint a little picture for you a little bit. We've all seen in our daily travels on the system or anywhere else, local, county, driving down the road, you see that squad car in the median, you see somebody on the side of the road, everybody, even myself, everybody takes their foot off the gas, they slow down. When you're in that traffic on the system, you see everybody's, what's everybody slowing down for? Or is that squad car on the side of the road? It slows everybody down. Well, this year in the construction zones, we took a little bit different approach. In addition to our enforcement efforts directly in the construction zones, to make those construction zones safer and to prevent the accidents, to prevent the fatalities, to prevent the injured workers, what we did is we concentrated our efforts in the mile, two, three before the construction zones to get people slowing down before the zone. When we work in construction zones, like I said, we have all those same challenges of where do we stop them. We may stop or catch them speeding or texting in a construction zone. We can't get them stopped till after the construction zone or on a ramp. While we're making a good effort in those zones, I don't think we're having the impact we wanted. So well, this year, we started doing much more of our enforcement before the construction. And I wish I could give you some hard facts on speed reduction or accidents. I cannot. But I can tell you anecdotally that all the officers on the road and some of the contractors we deal with are telling us people are driving slower in the zones. We have handled fewer accidents. And we ourselves believe we're seeing lower speeds in the construction zone. So we believe it's working. It's a strategy that we're going to continue throughout this year with the construction system-wide and in the coming year. It seems to be working, so we're going to keep that approach. And just to give you an idea of some of the enforcement work that's happened, I'll give you a little bit of numbers of July, and these numbers for July are only on I-294 and are only from the construction zones on I-294 and only for July. District 15 troopers wrote 650 citations in that zone. In the month of July, 443 of these were for speeding, 82 for distracted driving, texting, talking to cell phones, that type of thing. So, unfortunately, there are violators out there. I think we're making an impact. The zones are we're hoping the zones are safer. So, I'm hoping you all have a safe weekend, enjoyable weekend. Enjoy the end of the summer. Get some time off. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to entertain them.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
And last but not least, I'm pleased to announce that earlier this week, letters went out to more than 400 schools and communities along the tollway to invite them to participate in our second annual Student Art Map Contest. Some of you may remember this from last year. You might recall that U.S. Equities and Blick Art Materials partnered with us on this great program. So this is basically an art contest. Students can submit their renderings, their art, that we might use. If it's chosen, we will use the winner's artwork on the cover of our maps for that year. So this year's theme will be remembering our veterans, and high school art students are going to be asked to create that artwork based on the theme to be featured on 125,000 Illinois Tollway map covers and also displayed at Tollway Oasis. So you will all have an opportunity to vote for the potential winner, as a lot of people here at the Tollway do, and it's usually a lot of fun, and you again, we brought the winning students to the board meeting, I think last year, and we would expect to do that again. The grand prize winner will receive a $400 gift certificate from Blick Art Materials and a $200 gift certificate to use at any of the Oasis from U.S. Equities. It's a lot of McDonald's and donuts and coffee and anything else they'd like to use there. So, but it's always a lot of fun for us, and the three runners-up will also receive prizes of some sort. So, again, we hope that you'll all participate in helping us choose a winner, and I know that the art students get really excited about this effort. So, that's all I've got.
Thank you very much. If there's nothing else, we'll turn to the consent agenda. What I'd like to do is just ask Mike to take a couple of minutes on this first one to explain to us, or Director Peterson, however you want to do this, both the selection process and then how we end up using the people who have been selected. There were comments on this in the Finance Administration Operations Committee. I think it'd be useful for all the directors to hear this.
Okay. As we mentioned earlier, there are this item would be to recommend award of two pools, a senior managing underwriting pool and a co-manager underwriter pool. Both of the pools were selected through an RFP process, in which we had an evaluation committee score the proposals from representing several different departments. The RFP called for 10 senior managing underwriters to be selected, the highest 10 scores. Actually, the scores were so close that I think the committee recommended awarding all 14 that met the technical scoring requirement. That's how we ended up with 14. For the co-managers, the RFP called for selecting 18, again, the highest 18 scores. We did select 18, or I guess the scoring committee did recommend 18. One of those firms decided not to accept the pricing offer that was agreed to by all of the other firms, so that's how we ended up with a pool of 17. The way the pool will be utilized is that there is a number of criteria within the RFP that help us determine the selection process for each individual transaction. Those selections will be brought back to the board for consideration at the time the transaction is undertaken. The RFP also makes it clear that before you can use a firm in the pool a second time, you need to use all of the firms in the pool. So we won't have a situation where a firm is used multiple times and another firm is not utilized. The RFP also indicates that we will make every effort to make the compensation among the firms as even as possible by the end of the initial term of the RFP. As I mentioned earlier, there was a goal, so to speak, of at least 20% MBE, WBE, DBE participation. We think we should be able to achieve that, given that we have 3 of 14 or 21% of the senior managers are MBE, and 29% of the co-managers are MBE, WBE. If there's any questions?
Determining the order of the 14, who's on the committee that determines that? Yourself?
It's myself and Kathy. Yeah. Kathy Williams, Bill O'Connell, who's the debt manager, will be involved in the initial, as long as procurement, we'll probably consult with procurement on the initial recommendation of the initial team.
Firms,
yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll bring that back to the board.
And then you will pick the code. Again, you pick the code. You match them up with the seniors.
The codes do not contract directly with the tollway. They are part of an underwriting group that is led by the senior managing.
Thank you. I'm always reassuring that somebody thought that our pricing was too low. So, any questions on this? This is a sort of a complicated part of the process, but it's important that everybody understand. Okay. On this one, Director Darcy is recusing himself, so may I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? And one recusal. Let's do procurement. I think we can do all of these together. There's only one here. I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? Engineering, we can do all of these. We got three of those. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? No recusals. On legal, we have three. And then Director Reddick is recusing himself on the fourth. So why don't we take three? May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? No recusals. On number four, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? We have a recusal from Director Reddick, and then I think we can take 5 through 7. None of this, we don't need to discuss any executive session, or we can pull some of these.
6 and 7 we will.
6 and 7, okay.
Thank you.
That wasn't in my notes. So we'll do number 5. May I hear a motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And then any abstentions? no recusals. We'll take 6 and 7, have a discussion in executive session. We'll come back into regular session and take action on these if people are comfortable taking action on them. Okay. Is there any unfinished business? Okay. Any whatever new business? Okay. David, could you read to us the motion to go into executive session?
Sure. So management would recommend motion be entertained to proceed to executive session pursuant to exceptions in the Open Meetings Act. This month, pursuant to Section 2C11 to consider certain litigation involving the tollway, and Section 2C5 to discuss the acquisition of real property for the tollway.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. Everybody who's not coming back, have a very safe Labor Day. Now you have your instructions. Do not drive distracted. And we'll see you in September. Thank you.
Ready?
Yep, we're ready.
Great.
Thank you. Okay, we're back in on the full session. So what we need is a motion to approve items 6 and 7.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? And no recusals. Okay. We have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Everybody have a good, safe Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Thank you.